Our lesson today is taken from the Gospel of Luke, the 24th chapter, concerning the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We read in the first verse that very early in the morning, we find women coming to the sepulcher. They had prepared spices, and they were coming to the place where the Lord was buried. These women, we find their names in the 10th verse. They were Mary, Magdalene, Joanna, and several others. These women came filled with affection, filled with love. They had seen where Christ had been buried. They had been present when Joseph had interred him in the sepulcher in the garden. And now very early in the morning, they rose up and they took the spices and the ointment that they had purchased and prepared to come to the grave to embalm Jesus. In this, my hearers, we find these women filled with love and affection, which made them rise very early and set them on a journey to the sepulcher. I wonder how many of my hearers have such love, have such affection for Jesus, that you arise very early in the morning, and that your heart goes out unto him, like these women whose hearts were deeply affected with sorrow concerning their loved one. How many have no time to rise early in the morning? How many of our fellow creatures lie in bed to the last moment and then arise? Without eating any breakfast, they speed off to their employment. They take a bite to eat when they are at their work. How very few, my hearers, arise early in the morning, take a little time to pray, to read the Word of God, to seek his face, to ask him to take care of you through the day, to protect you upon all your ways and paths. How many remain up late at night, following vanity, following pleasures of this life, and come home and jump in bed without getting on their knees, without asking God to keep them through the night? How many of such hearers have I? Are you guilty of this? Is that the way to spend your life? Is that the way to begin the day? Is that the way to end the day? To begin without God and to end it without him? All many of our fellow creatures live this way. May I exhort you, my hearers, to take a lesson from these women. They arose very early in the morning. Can't you do that? Haven't you got that much over for your immortal soul to arise a little earlier in the morning, to get on your knees, to seek God, to pray that he would save you, that he would convert you, that he would give you a new heart, that he may reveal Jesus in you? Oh, let me exhort you, if you have not done this up to this day, may you begin this day. May you set some time aside, and may you earnestly make up your mind that tomorrow morning you will arise a little earlier, that you will get on your knees, that you will call upon him, that you will take your Bible and read a chapter thereof. All my hearers, to live without God, we sing in the Psalter, and that's true, is death. Oh, live not that way, my hearers. For whether you still be dead in trespasses and sins, or whether you have life, let me exhort you to live a life of prayer, a life seeking after that one thing needful for your immortal souls. These women, they're on their way to the sepulcher. We read in the Gospel of Matthew that they were talking to each other. They said, "Who shall remove the stone from the door of the sepulcher?" They had been there. They had seen this stone rolled against the door. It was a great stone. It would be an impossibility for these weaker sex to move such a great stone from the door. They were then concerned about this stone being at the door of the sepulcher. Let me say, if God has begun a good work in your heart, then you will find, like these women, a concernment about many stones being in the way. There was a stone in the front of the door of the sepulcher. Oh, if God has begun with you, then you have found unbelief to be a heavy stone. All my hearers, we come by nature into a state of unbelief. We are born therein, and we live on in unbelief. And if God comes down into our heart with his Spirit, then we are given to see that we are unbelieving creatures. Unbelief is a great sin. Unbelief robs us of communion with God. When God does this to a sinner and reveals his condition to him, then he becomes unbelieving concerning whether God will have anything to do with him or the likes of such a creature. He cannot believe that God would save him or her. He thinks, or she thinks, it's an impossibility. There's no hope. There's no use for me to cry to God, for he will never hear me. He will not listen to me. Unbelief, my hearers, is a great burden. It's a heavy stone, which, if we remain under it, it will sink us down into hell. For every unbeliever will experience damnation. Now, what can deliver a person from this heavy stone? The gift of faith, which overcomes all unbelief. What a wonder this is for a sinner troubled, concerned, and filled with unbelief concerning his eternal destiny, when he may come under the hearing or under the reading of God's precious word. And that word is brought home to his very heart, that there is mercy, that there is pardon, that there is forgiveness for the greatest of sinners. And he hears it as he never heard it before. This word is mixed with faith, and his unbelief subsides, and he begins to believe. Who can tell? Maybe there is mercy, there is pardon, there is peace to be found for me. My hearers, another stone that is in the way when we are coming to Christ is our sins. They are a heavy burden. Oh, what a heavy stone this is, which will also sink us down into hell if Christ has not bore them. All these things, my hearers, sin, they trouble a person so much. I wonder how many of my hearers are troubled about their sins. Do you think lightly about sin? Can you sin easily? Can you go on in it? That's a sad sign, my hearers. It's a sign that God has left you over to yourself. Oh, what a blessing to have a conscience that's tender, that witnesses with every sin that we commit, which is a voice as of from God to keep us from going on in our sins. Oh, when God lays home to a sinner's soul the burden of his sins, oh, what a heavy weight, what a heavy stone this is. Oh, how will he ever come from under it? How will he ever be delivered from it? You ever think that? You ever troubled about it? Are they no burden to you? Oh, how sad is your case, if not. But if you're burdened with your sin, then you feel and realize that you cannot deliver yourselves from that burden. It becomes heavier and heavier, and you fear that it's going to sink you down into eternal condemnation. All my hearers, these women, they were concerned about this stone being before the door, but they knew not that this stone was rolled away. So likewise, a sinner burdened with his sins, he's anxious, he's desirous to know whether his sins have been put away by the sacrifice of Christ. And it pleases God to reveal, and in through the medium of his precious word, this great blessing to a sinner troubled with his sins. Oh, how sweet are the words of Christ, if he may speak them to a guilty, to a sin-burdened soul. Thy sins, which are many, are forgiven thee. Oh, how this heavy weight rolls off the shoulders of such a sinner. He finds that Christ put away his sins. Oh, sweet experience. May you and I experience it in this life, my hearers. Oh, what a heavy stone, likewise, is a hard heart. We read in the Bible of a stony heart. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And if God has done this unto you, my hearers, then you have known what it is to have a soft heart, a broken heart, a contrite spirit. Have you ever had that? Have you ever been humbled, deeply abased in the sight of God against whom you have sinned? Has it been a grief and a sorrow to your soul that you have sinned against such a good God? Never had it? Oh, may you experience it this day, my hearers. Oh, what a mercy to have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. are those that have had this, and they are troubled with the hardness of their hearts. All by nature, my hearers, our hearts are like stones, and they remain so. Nothing touches them in a spiritual sense. Nothing affects them. Everything glides off them. But if you have ever had a broken heart, then when you come in that condition that nothing touches your heart, oh, no matter what you hear, no matter how you pray, or what you may do, your heart remains hard. You got that? You trouble with that? What a blessing if you are. Then you know what it has been to have a soft heart. Oh, a hard heart is such a burden to a creature. Oh, what a heavy stone this is, my hearers. And such a person can't remove that. He can't make his own heart soft. He can't take the Bible and read and make his heart soft because he's reading about the sufferings of Christ. He can't go on his knees and think, well, now my heart will be humbled. That hard heart, oh, my hearers, there isn't a greater curse in the world, I think, than to have a hard heart. But oh, what a mercy it is that unexpectedly, so sweetly, so softly, the heart is melted, is humbled, is broken to pieces under the Word of God. Under prayer sometimes just doing your work, a word will come into your mind and instantly it descends into the heart and the heart is broken. It brings us to God. It brings us into communion and fellowship with Him. Oh, my hearers, what a blessing to again and again receive a soft heart. These stones, my hearers, that I am speaking of are so numerous. A certain writer has a sermon about these stones, and he numbers 20 stones in the way of a sinner coming to Christ. I will step away from these stones at the present time to continue on with our lesson. These women, they came then to the sepulchre. And when they arrived at the sepulchre, they found a stone rolled away from the door. Who rolled it away? What happened to that? We have to go back to Matthew. Luke does not give us an account thereof. Matthew gives us this, that there was a great earthquake, and an angel of the Lord descended and rolled the stone away from the door and sat thereon in a sign of triumph. Here we have then heaven and earth being moved at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. An earthquake, my hearers, is a terrible and an awful judgment that God brings upon mankind. They are caused by subterranean gases exploding under the ground, sometimes by a volcanic eruption underneath. The earth is made to shake and made to tremble. Cities have been completely destroyed by earthquakes, and the countries round about these cities have been devastated, been ruined. All these are fearful demonstrations of the almighty power of God in shaking, in making the earth to tremble. There was such an earthquake And at the same time, heaven opened and an angel descended and rolled the stone away from the door of the sepulcher. The watchmen that were standing there were affrighted and became as dead men. Oh, this teaches us, my hearers, when a heavenly visitor comes down here upon earth, it makes us human beings affrighted, and we become as dead men. We cannot stand the gaze of such glorious creatures, for his countenance was as lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. This was the messenger that God sent down to roll away the stone from the grave, to make it so that Christ could triumphantly arise and come out of the grave, which he immediately did. He laid his grave clothes aside, and he immediately came out. This is the literal resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This, my hearers, is a fundamental article of our most holy faith. For the apostle teaches us that if Christ be not risen, then we are yet in our sins, and we have become false witnesses because we have testified that the Father hath raised up Christ from the dead. Oh, my hearers, as it was when Christ was risen from the dead, so likewise it must take place with you and me. There was an earthquake. Heaven and earth were moved at this resurrection. Oh, my hearers, an earthquake is a terrible punishment, as I have just been describing to you. But what a blessing if an earthquake takes place within our very breast. Oh, everything shakes when there's an earthquake. Everything trembles. So likewise, when the Spirit of God descends into a sinner's soul, oh, what a mighty revolution takes place. What mighty convulsions take place within. Oh, what trembling, what anxiety, what fear fills the heart of such a sinner. Oh, this earthquake, my hearers, is so necessary. Shall we ever arise from the dead? Oh, how necessary that this Spirit of God descend in your hearts and quicken you and bring you out of that state of death in which every one of us are in, dead in trespasses and sins. All this takes place in the hour of regeneration. Oh, what a blessing if we have experienced this in this life. Then we likewise shall never partake of that terrible death which Christ speaks about in his precious word. Blessed are they that have part in the first resurrection. Over them shall the second death have no power. Oh, what a terrible thing if we have never experienced an earthquake, a revolution within. Then we are still dead in trespasses and sins. And if we die in that state, oh, what a terrible ending it will be when Christ shall come in the clouds to judge the quick and the dead. My hearers, have you experienced an earthquake inside? Have you been raised up from that death in sin to a newness of life? Have you been given new eyes, new ears, a new tongue? Have you been given new feet? Have you become a new creature in Christ Jesus? This is what takes place when the Spirit of God takes hold of a sinner. He creates him anew. Oh, what a change takes place in such a person's life. He's raised up to newness of life. Oh, he cannot go on any longer in his sins. He has to do with a God who is just, who is holy, who is righteous, who must punish sin. And his conscience is witnessing as with 1,000 thunders every time he sins. Does your conscience witness? Or doesn't it speak? Does it leave you the way you are? Oh, how sad. If your conscience is closed and it does not fly you in the face, blessed are they whose conscience are tender, who cannot go on any longer in sin, who have been brought to the turning of their ways, who have been given to see that their past life has been nothing else but enmity and rebellion against God, and they, like the prodigal, are brought to themselves. They say, I will arise, and I will return unto my Father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am not worthy to be called a son of thine. Oh, I wonder how many of my hearers have experienced such an earthquake. Oh, how rare it is in these days in which we live to meet anyone who has been wrought upon by the Spirit of God, who's troubled with their sins, who cannot go on any longer in them. Oh, I could wish this to every one of you, my hearers. I cannot convert you. I cannot bring the word even to your ears, some of you people. But, oh God, he can bring it into your heart. May he do so. May he make it his living word for your immortal soul. For it is by the word of God we are born again, raised up. A resurrection takes place. And all blessed is that person that may be so born again. And my hearers, these women, when they came to the sepulchre, they found a stone rolled away from the door thereof. And they entered into it, and they found not the body of Jesus Christ. All these women, filled with love, filled with affection, seeking after Jesus, a dead Jesus, not a living one, to manifest their last tokens of love and affection to him, they came there and they found not the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder how many of my hearers have been seeking Jesus and have not found him. These women, they came there and they found him not. Can you not imagine them talking to each other and saying, wonder what happened to him? Where's his body? Where did they take it? Well, they had no realization that he had been risen from the dead. They were only concerned about the dead body, that they may embalm it. And while they were in the sepulchre, there came two men in white clothing and stood alongside of them. Oh, how frightened they must have been. Don't you think so? Oh, they dare not even look at him. It says in the Bible that they put their heads down towards the earth. They feared to look these creatures in the face, because they were heavenly beings. And while they stood there so perplexed, wondering what had become of his body, these angels spake unto them and said, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen. Remember how he has spoken unto you when you were yet in Galilee, that behold, the Son of Man shall be betrayed and shall be given over into the hands of wicked men, and they shall crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. The angel is a messenger of God to these women to proclaim unto them that that dearly beloved Savior, who they loved, was risen. He was alive. He was to die no more. Oh, what a joyful message this must have been to these women, don't you think so? They came to seek a dead Jesus, and now they had a messenger from heaven telling them that he was not dead, he was alive, he was risen. And they were reminded about the place and about the words that he had spoken unto them. This teaches us that even angels know the place and the words that God speaks to some of his children, that they're present there sometimes. For they said, do you not remember how that he spake to you when you were in Galilee? And then they spake the words that Christ spake. Oh, my hearers, it says in the Bible, and then they remembered his words. Have you ever had anything like that? Have you ever been like these women? They came seeking Jesus. They came to the grave. All their hopes, all their expectations that they had of this wonderful person was buried in the grave. It was all gone. The only thing they wanted to do now was to embalm him. That he was a savior, that he was going to be the king, that he was going to rule, was all gone. You ever been there, my hearers? Did ever your hope and your expectation sink down into the grave and you had no more hope or any more of ever being saved? Oh, what a sad state to be in. It isn't a very pleasant place to be. Oh, no. When all hope and all expectation is gone, I read of Jeremiah, that he says, my hope is perished from the Lord. How far it can sink with a person, even concerning his hope. Oh, how hopeless sometimes we become concerning the work of grace, concerning that Jesus whom we are seeking. Ah, we fear we never shall find him. And these women, they did not find him either. But the angel reminded them of the words that he had spoken. Oh, what a blessed experience. Have you ever had any words spoken to you, my hearers? Has ever God given to you a promise, a sign, a token out of his precious word that you are one of his, that he loved you, that he favored you, that he kissed you one time, that he smiled upon you? But now, you can't believe anymore. You can't even remember the words that he spoke. You're just like these women. You're seeking, but you haven't any hope or expectation that you'll ever find. What's necessary? Necessary that the Spirit, as a remembrancer, bring you back to that spot, that hallowed spot where he met you, where he spoke to you, where he gave you a word upon which you began to hope. You remember that time? Did he ever do that to you? Have you ever forgotten it? Sure, you say. I can't even remember what the word was. But here we have an angel. He remembered the spot. He remembered the words that Jesus had spoken to these women. And oh, when God sends a messenger again to us, and he points out to us the spot, remembers us, and gives us again to hear the very word that he has spoken before. Oh, then he makes everything new again. And then that promise, that word, that comfort that you had becomes new, fresh. Life comes into it. And all faith becomes an exercise. And just like these women, they remembered his words. Oh, what a blessing, my hearers. When all hope is gone and you can't believe anymore, to have a word brought again whereby you are remembered. And God has remembered you. Oh, my hearers, these women, after hearing this from these angels, they immediately left the sepulchre to return back to the disciples. Oh, they were bubbling over with news. They had something to tell. They had something they want to communicate. All these women, they couldn't get there fast enough. I think if they would have had wings, they would have flown to those disciples to tell them what they had experienced and who they had met at the grave. You ever had such an experience? You ever have a word given to you? You ever want to meet somebody to tell them all about what God done for your soul? You were so filled with it, all you had to tell somebody. You couldn't tell the world. You couldn't tell a carnal person. Who did you have to tell? You wanted to meet some of the disciples. You wanted to make known to them all the wonder that God had come again and renewed it and given you again a sign and a token that you were one of his children. So it was with these women. Oh, they sped towards where the disciples were gathered. But now in the Gospel of Matthew we read that while they were on their way, Jesus met them and said, "All hail." What a wonder. They were filled with joy already about the words that the angels had said. But now to make their joy complete, Jesus revealed himself unto them and said unto them, "All hail." Oh, how wonderful this must have been for these women. They didn't meet him, but he met them. We go so many times like these women to the means of grace, just like they went to the grave, and we don't meet nobody. We go away from it just the same way we come. But oh, if Jesus should meet with us, if he should gather with us, oh, what a mercy, my hearers. Then we, like these women, will fall down before him and worship him. That is what these women did. Oh, what a sight that must have been for these women. It was not a dead Jesus, but it was a living Jesus, who they met and who now they worshiped and adored. My time is gone, my hearers. I would like to continue on this particular subject. It's been very good for me speaking to you this afternoon, feelingly, believingly, somewhat, from my own heart and soul. It isn't every Sunday that I speak that way. Thanks be to God that he gave a little opening this afternoon, and I hope that some of my hearers may have also been partaking under what I have been bringing unto you. That's all for today.